everyone, I am Rillian, and welcome once again to the NarniWeb.com podcast, the NarniWeb Council. Hey there, Glumpuddle. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad that our prediction in the last news podcast about it being the last news podcast for a long time wasn't necessarily true. I guess it's been about... How long has it been? I guess it's been just under 6 months since we did the last podcast.
And, you know, what we said was, you know, I titled it The End of an Era, which I think will still hold true.
Yeah.
Probably. It's looking like this will still hold true, even if things continue with the Narnia films. We've reached a new pathway in the film, it seems like.
Especially if they make them independently. Probably very likely, and if they don't make it for another several years, it'll feel like a new era of Narnia filmmaking.
Indeed, but you know, I'm just glad to be back. I mean, that's why, like, normally I would say, you know, hello everyone, welcome back to the Narnia Web Podcast. We've had but I just wanted to say hello again.
Yeah.
But why don't you? Let's see, how many days ago was it? We've just now been able to get a podcast together, but I got a phone call from you. Wasn't able to answer it.
There's news. What do you
know?
There
is news.
Blow the dust off the homepage here. Actually, there's a couple other things we've done. There's a review of the stage production, a few little things on The Lion Awakes. But it was a week ago today at the time of this recording, May 24th, Douglas Gresham was speaking at Oxford, and he was asked about the movies, of course. And he said a few things that sort of take what we knew or what we thought we knew about the next Narnia film and turned it on its head a little bit. Probably most notably, he's saying he wants to make the Silver Chair next. So after all the back and forth, after all the drama about, oh my God, you know, for the longest time we just assumed it's going to be Silver Chair, and then a few months, what? Mark Johnson's talking about making Magician's Nephew? Well, he's not serious, right? Oh, he is serious. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's actually certain? They're going to make Magician's Nephew? Oh, wait, maybe they're not? Okay, wait, okay, they are. Never mind. They are. Oh, okay, they're not. So after getting jerked around, now Gresham is saying he wants to do Silver Chair next. Maybe more interestingly, he wants to make it independently. He's confirming that the moratorium period is 7 years. That probably means it would end at around maybe 2017 or 2018. It's probably the earliest we could count on seeing a Narnia film.
And just to clarify, Glumpuddle and I aren't sure how the legalities of this work. It sounds like they're working in such a way that maybe they could release the film once the moratorium ends. I think you and I had kind of assumed that no one would be allowed to begin at least production, much less maybe even pre-production until it ends, but we don't know if that's the case.
Maybe it is a situation where they could start filming before the moratorium period is up, but we don't know. There's talk that they could maybe renegotiate, maybe they could... where they could get the moratorium period to end sooner, maybe pay off Walden a little bit or something. That would probably involve a lot of messy legal blah blah, even more of it. But yeah, we're just not really sure. But at this point, I'm thinking 2017, 2018, something like that. It's probably the earliest we can see one.
You know, oh, by the way, I predicted that by the time Last Battle came out, I'd be married with kids.
Oh my goodness! You might be retired by the time Last Battle.
I might be dead.
There's a lot of that going on in the forum right now. People are going, "What? I'm going to be out of college by then, or what? I'm going to be in my 30s by then." And where people are coming from?
Why don't you just give a? I mean, again, what would you say are the main points from what Gresham has announced?
Well, the main, again, the nature of the moratorium is that until the moratorium is up, which will be about 2017, 2018, somewhere in there, we guess, no one except Walden is allowed to make Narnia films. And what we're getting from here is that Gresham would prefer to make the film independently. Independently can mean a lot of things. Does he mean he wants to start his own studio, or does it just mean he wants to look outside of the major studios? Independent can mean a lot of things. I also don't know how well off Gresham is. Could he partially self-finance this or something? I don't know. So I think that's the most interesting thing, is that he's in a position right now where he has to make it with Walden, and he apparently, I guess, doesn't want to. He'd rather make the film independently. There was an interesting comment that was made on the story itself. The user's name was Gabrielle, where this user said, this user claims to have been at this event in Oxford, and said that Gresham said he felt a bit crushed after the Don Treader film, and here's what's interesting, kept on apologizing to Michael Apted for the script. which Gresham did not have direct control over, and it sounded like breaking the film deal was partly his idea. That's what this user is saying.
Yeah, and even in the Lions Call article, which is where we got this, they said he voiced frustration over not having much control when it went into the previous films and have how the Voyage of the Dawn Treader turned out. I think when the film deals kind of fell through and we said, okay, they're going to sleep at best, you know, for a while, I think a lot, your impression and my impression was kind of, okay, there were bad apples between Fox and Walden, and Walden wanted to stay more true to the books. Fox was more interested in this new thing, and they just couldn't reconcile, so they decided we'd rather not have a repeat of Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But it is interesting that now Gresham is the one who's saying, I'd rather not work with Walden, for whatever reasons.
I'm sure the fact that Voyage of the Dawn Treader didn't do, not that it did horribly, but didn't do great at the box office, I'm sure that's a factor. But I wonder, the fact that Dawn Treader didn't do very well, I just think that's interesting, the fact that now he's saying he wants to make The Silver Chair next. So he'd be making a sequel to a movie, you know, several years later. And you're almost having to start over anyway. Especially, it seems a given at this point, you'd have to recast Will Poulter. And I don't know how the other actors' contracts work. Does this mean they have to recast Liam Neeson as well? Or is Ben Barnes still contractually obligated to appear as Caspian if they decided to go that route? Because Ben Barnes signed up for 3 Narnia films, and he only did 2.
I don't think the contracts would hold, because I think about certain film series where maybe they started one, then they made a remake a few years later and had sequels. You know, it's not like William Shatner is going to be forced to hobble onto the set of the new Star Trek. That was mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's probably too late now anyway. Even if they started, if they said we're going to release a Silverchair film in, say, 2 years from now, I think Will Poulter might be too old anyway, as it is. But what do you think about saying we're going to continue this series, we're going to pick up where Dawn Treader left off? You know, Fantasia Kitty didn't like that. She said that the only thing she's not liking is that Gresham wants to pick up where they left off, and she says she felt that was a huge mistake. They need a clean, fresh start. So what do you think about, okay, we're going to go ahead and make The Silver Chair and just continue on?
You know, to an extent, I don't really mind it. It depends on how a lot of it will depend on the successful marketing. The Narnian Chronicles, part of their strengths is that they're so different from one another. And I think that in some ways they kind of did that with Prince Caspian, but it threw people for a loop. I think it could work. I think that people would kind of have to see it as, here is a new story in the world of Narnia. And yes, it has Eustace. It has one, aside from Aslan, it has one primary character in common with the previous book, for all practical purposes. Yes, Trumpkin's still in there. Yes, Caspian is still appears. But, and that would be the interesting thing, because, you know, would they get Ben Barnes for young Caspian? You know? So, which would be helpful, I think, if they could, to give people some continuity, unless they go BBC route. And
I just wonder at this point if you have to just say, you know what, forget continuity. There's not going to be continuity making this several years later. We're not going
to
have...
You almost wonder, I mean, because on one hand, if they're going to be true to the book, you know, they can't make references to the smoke monster. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that they cannot do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, if you have Gresham having more control over the script, and obviously the green mist in the Dawn Treader film, that we didn't really find out too much about it, and the whole we basically know at this point, Gresham himself confirmed, yeah, they're setting up something in the Silver Chair movie, and it was going to have something to do with the Lady of the Green Kirtle. Can you just say, you know what, never mind, we're not going to do that, the whole green mist thing anymore? And how much would that matter? I mean, we don't really know how much they were going to use it in the Silver Chair film. But it'd be
I think they should and could just say, you know what, the green mist doesn't matter. We're just going to kind of ignore it, and just press forward.
That's what I was hoping they would do with Caspian Susan. And then Caspian had that reference at the beginning of Dawn Treader.
That one line.
I'm like, no!
One line.
Just pretend it never happened.
Some people say, oh, the indie films, I don't want it to be a lower budget. Then we're going to go back to the BBC route, you know?
In the forum, ReaperCheap775 summed it up well. He said, I have a feeling that the decision to make the movies independently is either the best thing to happen to the series or the worst thing. And I think that that's true. This is either going to be really good, it's going to give Gresham more freedom, it's going to give them you know, when there's less money involved, that usually means, you know, there's less pressure from studios, and you're more likely to be able to do what you really want, and you're more likely to be able to maybe break formula and go off the beaten path. So there's an assumption here that if you make the film independently, it's probably going to be closer to the book, at least in terms of story. But then there's also, yeah, but then we'll have to sacrifice a lot of quality. And like Lou the Centaur said in the forum, she said, you know, her first thought was, great, low budget, cheesy BBC Narnia all over again. And that may or may not be true. It depends. There's a recent example like District 9, which was made for $30 million. It looks like it could have been made for $100 million. Maybe all in all, when you look at the story, maybe I think there'll be pros, there'll be cons to this, but it might turn out there are actually more pros than cons.
And think of it this way, Glenpuddle. Think about the scale of, and I don't know if this was a factor in the decision making. I'm just saying it could work out for the best this way. Let's say, okay, look at each book. Consider The Horse and His Boy and all that happens there. Consider The Magician's Nephew and all that happens there. Consider, you know, The Last Battle. Consider, you know, all the stories. Consider The Silver Chair and the scale and the scope and all that happens there. Which story do you think would be the most easily pulled off?
You go with the Silver Chair. We've been saying that for
a
while.
Go with The Silver Chair.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if that was a point, part of the decision. I'm just saying that in terms of, oh, they're going to have a smaller budget. For Silver Chair, it doesn't concern me as much. In fact, that's one reason why I think that I actually felt the strongest of the BBC films was The Silver Chair.
What we're really talking about here is, could you even remotely do it justice? Horse and His Boy, it's like, you know, you're going to have to go to a lot of remote locations to do the Horse and His Boy right. You just can't do it justice without that. With Silver Chair, I mean, ideally, yeah, do a lot of location work, ideally, but you could see where they could get away with making Silver Chair a pretty studio-based film and get away with it. Now, how much of this was a factor in Gresham's decision? Again, we don't know. Maybe it was always a case where when they were saying Magician's Nephew, Gresham was saying, no, let's make The Silver Chair next. And when he gets more control, he's saying, okay, I want to make The Silver Chair next now. That's what I always wanted to do. We don't know exactly. Or is he just saying, wow, this would be a much easier film to make on a tight budget than The Magician's Nephew? Or maybe it's a combination of both.
What do you have left? You have The Silver Chair, which is a clear sequel. You have the Horse and His Boy, which fits into the which makes The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe bookends, and then you have a prequel, and then the final sequel.
Where I'm at right now is that I just want to see four more good films. I don't really care what order they're made in. I mean, there's marketing and all that, and that's not really my concern. My concern is to get four good Narnia films. So right now, if they, for whatever reason, decided to make The Horse and His Boy next, that'd be a little weird, but if they did that, and in 2018, I go to the theater, and I see The Horse and His Boy, and I say, well, that was a good movie, and a good adaptation of The Horse and His Boy, I'm not going to complain. And the same thing with The Silver Chair. You know, if The Silver Chair, if I go see that, you know, in several years from now, and I think it's a good movie, and a good adaptation of The Silver Chair, I'm not going to be walking out of the theater saying, oh man, where was Will Poulter? Oh man, it had a different look and feel. Oh man, I wish they'd had more money here and there. Bottom line, if I feel like it's a good adaptation of The Silver Chair, I'm going to be happy. The Narnia books, it's not like Harry Potter and certainly not like Lord of the Rings, where it's episodes in a larger story. Yes, the books have a thematic relationship with each other, and there's overlapping characters and all that, and you can definitely appreciate the books and get a lot more out of them if you read them one after the other, preferably in a publication order, I would say.
Indeed, thank you.
But I think you can just pick up Silver Chair and have that be your first Narnia book, and you can really enjoy it, and you can really understand and have a great experience with it. So at this point, I say, you know what, just make a good Silver Chair movie. After that, just make a good Horse and His Boy movie, then make a good Magician's Nephew movie. I still think there's something worthwhile about making four good Narnia films from here on out, even if the whole series doesn't, you know, connect the same way the books do.
Yeah, and on one hand, you know, would I prefer... I'll just probably get this out. Would I prefer probably a reboot with seven near perfect or, you know, at least very good Narnia films?
Well, I mean, I think it's hard to argue with that. If we could be assured that they're going to start over, they're going to make seven great films, and they're going to be great films, great adaptations. I mean, it's hard to not just say yes to that.
Sure. So, but at the same time, you know, like, and I think that. You know, I know of people who said, oh, Chronicles of Narnia, it's a famous Narnia series. I'll go get one from the library. What's this? It's The Silver Chair. Oh, I'll start reading it. And they love it, you know? And maybe they didn't know that about all the different stories And how Eustace is established in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, or how Aslan sacrificed himself for Edmund in the first book. You know, The Lord of the Rings was written as one work. Harry Potter, you can't just jump into book four and have it make as much sense. I mean, you could, kind of, but there's so much that depends on just a grand continuing story. Same with Star Wars. If there were any series, fictional series, I could think of that you could, where you could just pick up after three films, and kind of start anew and not worry about continuity. With the exception of, say, the Sherlock Holmes stories, it would probably be the Chronicles of Narnia.
And I mean, I think that's when one of the, I remember posting a poll about this several years ago, saying each Narnia book is very, very different. Is this a good thing or a bad thing when approaching it as a film franchise? And I think people were kind of, I can't remember the results. I think people were kind of divided on it. But that's the way I think it's better to approach Narnia. We're going to make seven movies here that all take place in the same world, but are basically their own story at the same time. And I've actually been saying for a while, I wish they would take Chronicles of Narnia out of the title. Like this next one, just call it this next one, just call it The Silver Chair, and people will figure it out that it's yeah okay.
That's an interesting
This is,
thought. I hadn't considered that.
and like I mean that's what Lewis did. Chronicles of Narnia is not necessarily officially in the title of those books. That's just the title of the series. In fact, he didn't come up with even the name Chronicles of Narnia till fairly late in the game.
I had not thought of that.
One of the concerns I have, Gresham says one of the reasons he's wants to do the next film independently, or the main reason really, I think, is to maintain more control of the script. And when I read that, this is not a great comparison, I admit, but George Lucas's face flashed through my mind for half a second, and where you have to have maintain absolute control. And I would just, I think that Gresham, I mean, this will probably be a good thing overall. And you were talking before about how it'd be great to have someone who's more sort of artistically minded than Gresham to really be the driving force behind here. And I really think Gresham, he knows he's not going to direct the movies. He knows he's not going to actually write them himself. So he's trying to find somebody who has that artistic sense to really take it. And he
Yeah, I'll
found
agree with you there.
he found that in Andrew Adamson for the most part. I think he would
For the
agree
most
with
part,
that.
yeah.
So he's trying to find somebody where. Okay, what movie do you want to make? What kind of movie do you want to make? Oh, great. I want to see that movie. Go make it. And then from there on out, I just think Gresham has to leave the guy alone and let this director make their movie. And not historically, when you have a producer or a studio breathing down a director's neck saying, hey, here's what you can or cannot do, it usually doesn't turn out too well.
Which is interesting because that it is, and we've talked about this before, and I'll let you continue here. But it is ironic that there was no one from the Tolkien estate providing real input to Jackson et al.
It just depends. Douglas Gresham involved with this, I think, overall is a good thing. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guaranteed safety net, and it's there's no guarantee that.
As Hitler said.
But.
Those of you who have not seen Glumfuddle's video of Adolf Hitler ranting about the Susan and Caspian kiss, go on YouTube and look it up. And Hitler makes it quite clear that
Gresham's
yeah,
not
it's
our
not
safety
always a
net.
safety net.
Right. But I mean, at the end of the day here, having Gresham involved is not doesn't guarantee good adaptations. I think even independently it doesn't guarantee that. I don't believe that you can I don't think that someone can decide to make a good adaptation any more than they can decide to make a good film. They'll try, but they might fail. It really depends on can they find the right director? Can they find someone who really has a vision for it and is able to do it on a tight budget? And
And
Adam
can I say, I will just say that because I think my biggest qualms, and with all three, have consistently been with the scripts. With Prince Caspian and Wardrobe, it's been pretty nuanced, actually. It hasn't been huge glaring issues with the script, like whether they would have Father Christmas in there or not. It's very subtle lines that, we've nitpicked, and yes, it might be nitpicking, but depending on how you say it, just a slight change in the phraseology can have drastic impacts on the character of Aslan, for example.
every year you grow, so shall I.
Yeah, every year you grow, so shall I, versus every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Yes, it's slight in difference in word choice, but it's very different meaning. And so those are the issues where, and I have to say, I'm not making anyone out to be a villain here. I think that there were people who just didn't think that deeply. So I would just like to add, yes, director, good quality within the budget, but at the I have to say, yes, the flaws and stuff in the BBC version, but if you just taken the BBC script and given that to Apted, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened.
Gresham is saying he would like to get Andrew, he would like to see Andrew Adamson return and direct Silverchair, but thinks he'd be too expensive. But then again, who knows?
What do you think of that?
Well, I think Adamson, in my opinion, made two pretty good Narnia films, and so if I see it announced that Andrew Adamson's coming back, I'm not gonna freak out. I'm gonna say, okay, I guess I feel okay about that.
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before, I think Adamson has various strengths and weaknesses as a director. And if I could think of two Narnia films, he would have, well, I think he probably would have been good for Treader, and he actually, that was the one that was his favorite that he wanted to do. I have to say, if I were to pick the two films I think Adamson would direct the best, as part of this, I don't know, I can't even put my finger on it, but I think I could say that he might be most consistent with just in the themes of the books. Because there were certain issues I had with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, with the emphasis being, the climax is the battle. It's not Aslan's resurrection. Let's just face it. Just the way it pans out, the emphasis is on the battle.
In the movie, yeah.
In the movie, sorry. Yes, in the movie. But I think if you were to say which film would he direct the best, I think The Horse and His Boy, undoubtedly. I can't think of him really messing up The Horse and His Boy.
I mean, you have to wonder. We've seen Andrew Adamson direct two films that were two studio Hollywood films, and also on a really big budget. So we've seen that side of Andrew Adamson. What would he do on a kind of a tight budget? And also with independent Narnia films, where they're going off the beaten path and breaking formula is not quite as it's a lot more doable. What would that Andrew Adamson do? Maybe we would see a different side of Andrew Adamson.
Yeah, I think The Horse is what you do best at, but then the Silver Chair would be a close runner-up. I'd want him to shy away from a battle.
Yeah. For me, the most important thing with adapting these films is I'm always thinking about what's this doing for the legacy of Narnia. How is this doing for, like, right now when people hear the word Narnia, I think they just tend to think of, oh yeah, those are little children's fantasy books, kind of like Harry Potter. Obviously, the legacy of Narnia is much, much bigger than just the films. But now I'm looking at
But with
these.
this illiterate generation.
Yeah. But so what I want is when people hear the word Narnia, they think of something that have they might still think of it as children's stories and all that, and that's okay. But they think of something that has artistic merit. Not just, oh yeah, that's that fantasy, franchise. If they can make four good films from here on out that do that are good films, good adaptations, and not just good fantasy or action films, but really have something to say, they really have artistic merit, I'm not going to complain. I think that's going to be, yeah, maybe I'll nitpick a little bit about continuity and all that, but right now, where I'm at right now is I just want to see a good adaptation of The Silver Chair. I'm almost looking at The Silver Chair in isolation from the rest of the series and saying, I just want to see a good movie and a good adaptation of The Silver Chair.
I grew up. I'd seen the BBC films, and the only one I was able to enjoy the most as I continued to get older was the Silverchair. That was the one where the special effects were the least in the way. That was the one with the best actors, or the best acting, I'll just say. Certain things you could almost rearrange, and certain that are you could change the order of certain things or change certain details, and it would still feel like Narnia. Okay, I'm just gonna kind of call it the just C.S. Lewis's vision of what Narnia was and meant. And if you could get someone, scriptwriter, director, who had a consistent vision with that, and could say, okay, yes, it's not going to be page per page verbatim from the book, but it will still feel and be in line with what Lewis saw Narnia as. Then that's whether it's even if it's on a small budget, I would be very, very happy. And yeah, I, at this point, we're so desperate, not really desperate to say
Not
we were
really
compromised,
desperate. I
but
mean, yeah, I mean, for me,
but
it's.
we are we'd just be so glad just to see Narnia films done well, even if they were. The continuity wasn't there with other films.
We don't know that the small budget and being made independently and all these things, it's just at a point right now, of course, where we can't really say if they're good or bad. And obviously, we just spent a whole podcast speculating about, you know, might it be good or bad? What are the possible pros? What are the possible cons?
But
we
hey,
really don't know.
Because that's what we do.
That's right, exactly. And that's kind of Jim Fan's position, I think. I asked Jim Fan if she wanted to be on the podcast, and she wasn't able to make it, but she just wrote a brief little paragraph on her thoughts. And she basically said, you know, we already knew it's going to be several years before making any Narnia films, and a lot can happen until then. So she wasn't really didn't really have a big reaction to, oh, it's going to be the silver chair. I think her reaction is, oh, it's several years away. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen until then. So I think she's just in a, like I think Fantasia Kitty is as well. She's not counting down the days until the moratorium ends or anything. To her, like we were talking about at the beginning here, it's the end of an era. And I'm just kind of, you know, the next movie will happen when it happens. And we just got to sit tight until it does. In the meantime, the books are still around. And for me, I'm still a fan of the books. That's what I am. I'm a fan of these books. And because of that, I'm interested in the films.
Yeah. And I'm still going through my Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe audiobook. It's been taking me longer than I planned, but I'm still going through it.
Because so you guys know, we're thinking about going through the books one by one and just having discussions about each book. Bottom line, I just love these books, and it would be really cool to see good films and good adaptations. And if the Silver Chair is just a good film and a good adaptation of the Silver Chair, I think that is worth waiting several years for.
Well, this was fun.
That's fun. Hopefully,
I don't know when the next news article will come out, but
maybe get some news pretty soon, and maybe there'll be an announcement. Actually, we're making The Last Battle next.
Who knows? I was telling Glenfuddle just before this discussion started. He says, "Oh, so what do you think? Are you shocked?" And I said, "I think after the Suspian kiss, or certainly after the smoke monster, I basically nothing shocks me. It's kind of like, oh, they're making Magician's Nephew next. Oh, they've canceled all the films. Okay, I'm not surprised. You know, oh, this is it. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Totally desensitized. Just ready for anything."
Yeah, so that, yeah, bring, you know, if that, oh my goodness, you know, Narnia has been scientifically proven real. Surprised.
That's not shocking at all.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much, Glenfuddle. This was great. Glad to be back.
Maybe we'll do something soon. We'll see what happens further up and further in.
Further up and further in.